Back here at the Under Armour Performance Center in Owings Mills, 1 week away from the 2015 NFL Draft, the Ravens getting set to pick 10 times in theory, including the 26th overall pick in the first round. A week from tonight, joining us right now is Kevin Byrne, the Ravens VP of Public and Community Relations. And Kevin, I am so fascinated by the media coverage of this event. I don't think it can get any more, but I say that every year, and it always kind of tops itself. That has to be the biggest change over the last few decades being involved in this league.
Without a doubt. Once ESPN puts the draft, and that was a Pete Rozelle idea, on live, and literally at that time was just Chris Berman sitting reading names, you know. And yeah, because the draft was, I forgot how many rounds at that time, but, it, you know, they didn't have the bells and whistles and all the experts and all the video and all that. So now it comes, it's absolutely massive. It's you have this couple of month long build up to the draft, starting, you know, really the combine, you know, in February, that becomes part of the draft fabric. And so that it's amazing to me every year, Brett, you get to this point and names that would be totally unknown a couple months ago are now part of the fabric of the conversation of sport.
Did you or could you have ever foreseen a world where the combines are televised?
No. No, because I thought they were deadly boring. You know, guys running 40-yard dashes and sprints or catching passes, but ESPN and the NFL Network have found a way to make it entertaining by adding all these voices over it, all the experts. This is what this means. So I think what the league, the NFL, has been able to do is recognize that there is entertainment value there, and there is a constant search for more information out of the NFL. I mean, we're so fortunate, I feel like I should knock on something here, that to have the popularity we do, and it all goes back to the one base, it's a great game. And but there's so much intrigue in the game and every play, and people have learned the nuance of it.
When the Ravens or even the Browns used to select a player in the third or fourth round or beyond, and it was your job in public relations to get something, I'm sure, to, at the time, was probably strictly just local writers. What was that process like? Because now I know it's a little easier.
Well, it was almost always on the weekends, the draft. And so you'd be trying to track down a sports information director from Northwest Missouri State or Southeast Louisiana Tech. And
you couldn't just Google that number.
There's no such thing as that. And so you're just hoping. There's a sports information book that, you know, every college should have a sports information director, but some colleges didn't even have that. And you'd have this book, but then you'd look, and it's only an office number that would ring off the hook, and it's rare that we'd have the home phone. So then we were looking up the guy's name in local phone books or calling operators, just trying to get four or five sentences, you know, on the running back from IUP.
That's amazing. And so now, I imagine that aspect has gotten easier to deal with.
Now anybody, there will not be a player who will be drafted or even a rookie free agent signed, I bet, that you can't put his name in Google and come up with a number of sheets on him, of articles.
Now, does your staff do their own research leading up to this point, or does the league disseminate the information for all prospects who could be drafted?
It's both. But the league has done a fantastic job with putting together bios of likely to be drafted players, and their group of biographies has been pretty thorough through the years.
Now, I wouldn't expect you to tell me any specific name here, obviously, but if there's an off-the-radar name on the Ravens board right now, will Ozzie or anybody say, Kevin, you might want to do a little background on this player, if he's not in that obvious group of guys?
No. I wish they would.
But I'll
be in the draft room, and so what will happen is I can see our board, and our board is from best players up on top to lesser players as you go down the board, that I can look up there and see, okay, there are five guys, and there are five to our pick, and I can go, Brandon – from Missouri Southern, we better research him a little bit because he could be the guy. And then, of course, Brandon Williams was the guy, and we had some information on him.
How different has that draft room, how much has it changed from 1996, let's say, to now, how many more people are in the room? The kind of atmosphere in it, has that changed?
You know, I think people would be surprised to find that it's always calm. And that, using Jerry Sandusky's phrase, the hay is in the barn. So that, you know, when you're sitting there and you're hoping that, okay, that guy's coming to me, and then he's taken 1 minute before you're on the clock, it's not like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? No, in Ozzie's case, is okay, there's the next guy. But that discussion's already taken place. It's usually five picks before our pick that they'll look up at the five that are up there and are the next five rated players. And then the discussion becomes, do we think any of those five is good enough to justify this pick, or maybe can we trade down? The other thing happens, of course, where you're sitting and you see that player start falling, and you go, whoa, here's a guy we had ranked eighth best player in the draft. He's still there at 15. We're at 26. Let's see if we can go up and get him. And so then the conversation goes the other way.
Kevin Byrne is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. The constant has been Ozzie here, but you have three different head coaches and you have two different owners. How is Steve Bisciotti in this process different than Art Modell in this process?
For Art, the draft was really entertaining. He loved the intrigue involved and really watched it unfold. Steve, on the other hand, he's got a special mind. His mind works differently. You know, it works in different levels, and he likes the math of the draft. I don't know if that's the right way to describe
yeah.
it, but he's always putting value on everything. You know, is that guy – well, this guy, I remember – Steve has a great memory. Last year at this time, we had a guy rated higher there, and we took him. This guy's not rated as high. Should we trade down, Ozzie? And, you know, and then he'll talk about the mechanic or the dollars involved and the hits on the cap. And Steve loves measuring trades, you know. So when Pat Moriarty will sit there and Pat Moriarty has a chart that grades a trade, it's a point system. So if we give up our third round pick to move up five places in the second round, there's a numerical value. And so Pat will be going, well, you know, this, and he's working from a chart. Steve will have it off the top of his head. And he goes, that's not enough. We would need to get more to do that, or we need to give up more to do that. You know, so Steve likes that fascination. And one other thing, after Friday night, so Thursday night, next Thursday night's the first round, Friday night's the second and third. After Friday night, when we finish on Friday night, which will be 11 o'clock, 11:30, Steve will gather all the scouts in the draft room, and he'll redo the board with them. And Ozzie stays a little bit, but then goes home because he says, I need to get my rest, you know, for Saturday. But Steve has come up with this thought that because your board is clean on the top half of it, for example, and now all these players are on the bottom, that there's a psychological letdown. So Steve says, well, let's move them all up, you know, because this is a brand new board for the fourth through seventh round. And then they do a little maneuvering, you know, all right, is Brett Hollander, if he and Kevin Byrne have the same grade, a 6.5, which 6.5 do we take first? And so let's inch this guy just a little bit ahead, even because we're at different positions. You might be the quarterback. I might be the defensive tackle. And now you're weighing it to what your roster needs. And Steve loves that. And they'll stay till 4 in the morning redoing that thing. And I'll come in the next day after leaving 11:30, and the whole board is different because all the names have been moved up, separated a little bit, and it's and Steve's idea, and it's a great one. It's now you're psychologically happy with taking guys from near the top of the board again.
Last question, I'll let you go. We may have to rehash this one in a week, but because we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Ravens and the 20th season, the epic story from the very first draft, and it's timely right now for sad reasons, but to go with Jonathan Ogden over Lawrence Phillips and that draft discussion, Ozzie, I guess, versus his boss, take us through that, if you recall.
Well, the discussion had taken place the night before. and I did not hear it. So as I'm seeing it unfold the next day,
this is back in the old Saturday daytime circumstances.
It's 1996, and the Arizona Cardinals had the second pick in the draft, and the whole world had them taking Jonathan Ogden. And so the Arizona Cardinals got on the clock, and they took Simeon Rice, the pass rusher, who turned out to be a really good pass rusher. And so Ozzie calmly turns to Art and says, "We're going to get our guy." And I'm thinking, oh, God, I hope it's not Lawrence Phillips, that thug from Nebraska. And so I forgot who the third pick was. I should know that. But now we're on the clock. So then Art says, "Are you sure this is what you want to do, Ozzie?" And he goes, "It's like I told you last night, Art. This guy can be a foundation for this franchise for the next 10 years. We'll put him there," and I'm thinking, we're going to take Lawrence Phillips. And then Ozzie turned to the guy on the headset to turn it in to New York, and he said, "Tell him to write down Jonathan Ogden's name." And I'm going, "Oh, thank you." Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I don't think there was as much disagreement as people thought that Art wanted Lawrence Phillips because we needed a running back. But I really think the key was Simeon Rice going earlier than we anticipated.
Great story from the past. Kevin, we really appreciate it, obviously. And we look forward to next week and the 2015 draft here for the 20th time.
It'll be fun, and we'll tell some more stories next week.
Can't wait. Kevin Byrne, Ravens VP of Public and Community Relations, will come back with much more here at the Under Armour Performance Center on WBAL.